Praise God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now this topic, how works work in a Christian walk. I grew up in a church in which everything I did could have sent you to heaven or hell that day. You walk right, you're going to hell. You walk wrong, I'm sorry, you're going to hell. Do something right, you're going to heaven. Do this wrong, you're going to hell. Everything that was done, there was an action, and I was headed to hell or I was going to heaven. Hell, heaven. Some churches still hold on to that. Fundamentals hold on to that type of aspect of your actions, and every action you do can send you to heaven or to hell. Then you have a new group, especially how we do it with faith and with grace. In fact, they're almost careful not to do any works. In fact, your works have absolutely nothing to do with it. They kind of say your works don't play a part in this at all. It's all by grace. How does this work? Because when we go in the Bible, we're seeing other things, and the group that says all actions ignores the things that go against them, and the ones who say just grace, they ignore the things that go against them. There's a process to salvation that God gives us in John 3:16, where he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes," everybody say believes, "shall not perish." So now, believing plays a big part. Keep that in mind. We got to talk about belief and how that works. So then where does works come in? Or does works come in this at all? Or do I have to just believe? Like he said, yes. But what does that mean? How does this work? So when I become a Christian, does it mean I can never, ever, ever lose it, even if I became a serial killer? Well, Pastor, I don't know if that makes sense, but wait a minute, you just told me works. Or can I? How does this fall into place? So we're going to now look at exactly what the Bible says concerning works in our walk. Okay? How does it work and how it does not work? Let's make this one thing clear first. We are saved by grace. It's a gift from God. Okay? So we're getting a gift from God. And it says, and we receive that gift through faith, and we are created to do good works. Okay? So that whole thing comes into play. So we all understand that. Hopefully we get that. And we see that in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved. Now, this is very important. Okay? Think of grace as a gift, as something that you could not pay. No matter what you do, you could not pay it. Okay? You're all doomed with it because you could not pay it. So he says, I'm going to pay it for you. So his payment is what saved you. Everybody understand that? Keep that in mind. It says, through faith. Now, the way I get it is through faith. Because if it worked the way some people taught, then that means all I have to do is get this gift automatically. In other words, this gift would be an automatic thing to me. And does it work that way? Do you know what I mean? Is everybody saved? Is everybody in the world automatically saved? And we know the answer is no. Okay? We have to make sure we're in a way that I have to get it through something, and that's through faith. Okay? We're going to break this down as we go through it. It says, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen? Please keep that in mind. It's very important for us to know that this comes from God, completely from God, because I did anything, not because I'm some great person. This is a gift from God. And then he makes very clear in verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. For if we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there is a good works out there that we all are expected to do, period. Each and every one of us, there is a good works that we're all made to do. But he says, my salvation, not by works. Okay? Now, we could probably say, amen. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Somebody just let me know you can't see me. There we go. Praise God. All right. Yeah, we're like, who's speaking up there? But anyway, not by works. So we can't do anything action-wise, amen, in order to get our salvation itself. Okay, keep that in mind. But understand that it's by his grace. Now, watch this. For if our works played any part of our salvation, then it would not be by grace. We see in Romans 11, 5 to 6. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Now, what he's saying here is, if I actually did anything to earn my salvation, grace wouldn't exist. Y'all get this? Just wait, because we're going to go clear on this, because works does have something to do, just let everybody know. Because we could stop here and people go, see, that's it. It's all by grace. But what does that mean? And we'll keep going with that. Those who fully understand salvation devote themselves to doing good works. Now, this is what some who just teach the grace part and who teach it incorrectly. Well, because of grace, you're going to want to do good, and it's just going to happen. And they're going to say you're going to desire to do it. And we see in Titus 3, 5 through 8, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done. That's the first thing to make sure everybody knows. Our salvation didn't come from because we are some great people who really mean well. Okay? You get a chance, you read Romans 3, and it breaks down. No one is good, not even one. Do y'all get this? Okay? So he made that very clear. He didn't look at them and say, man, these people are really trying. He went, no, these people are evil. But I'm still, because I love them, I'm going to give them away. It says, but because of his mercy. Because of his, now if you go to court and the judge gives mercy, it's usually because of something you did, because of some begging or him feeling sorry for you. No. This is 100% his mercy. Not earned. We didn't even really ask for it. Do you understand that? Because we keep on sinning. It's saying he allowed his mercy, and that's what's so great about his mercy. He's allowing us to get out of what we deserve. We all deserve to go to hell. Do you got to get this? And his mercy is applied so we have the choice not to. It says he saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Why is this part so necessary? Because not only did he say, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance not to get punished for what you deserved, amen, but I'm going to offer you something that's going to give you the power not to be in this place again. Do y'all get this? The washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Because when I get saved, now I get a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just that some him inside of me that's just there. He's there to empower me. You understand this? So now, when it was just me, I couldn't help it. When I get the Holy Spirit and I still sin, I didn't help it. Big difference. Now I'm empowered to do it. And if I still choose not to, then that's the problem. Do y'all get this? So he gives us the Holy Spirit through this. It says, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That's our goal. We want to hopefully, with him being led by and strengthened by his spirit, we'll have eternal life. It goes on. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Careful to doing it. Do you notice something here? This is still a choice. For you to watch what you say, how you do it, to make sure everything is good. Now, I wish we can do that, because today we allow all those things like emotions or situations, surroundings, all that stuff to come into play. And we only do good when we want to, when it's convenient for us. And that's a problem. Do y'all get this? But he says, no, as Christians, we have to always have our mindset every time we wake up. I got to make sure in everything I do today, even simple as putting on my clothes, driving down the street, that I'm doing good. Okay? So that plays a part. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Okay, so you still see works playing a part. And the ones on grace say, yep, so as long as I have my mindset to do good, that's all works has to do. We'll keep coming back to this. Now, there is a problem when Christians, through human effort, try to access righteousness. Here's my disclaimer for the side of this. Anytime, the only access you had to becoming righteous was through the law. Had. Everybody say had. Okay? So I don't care if somebody means well. If they weren't following with the law, remember we did the whole study on law, grace, and it was the whole thing on grace. And I know in some cases, some people were like, my eyes just rolled and I just couldn't get it. And it's a lot of information. But in a nutshell, the law was given with God saying, okay, you know what? You want to be righteous? Here's how you do it. So he gave them a list of rules. Now do this. Do y'all get this? And if you do this flawlessly, you're good. Okay? Everybody failed. That's the whole thing. So what he's saying to people is, not only did everybody fail, but that's why he says all have fall short. He's saying even those before they're born, try it, you're going to fail. Man can't do it. It's what he's letting you know. Does that make sense? Man cannot do it. So in Galatians 3, 1 to 2, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. So he's saying to the Galatians, y'all seen him crucified. You understand what's going on. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Now, the observing the law, the reason why the Galatians were getting beat up is because they had a group of people saying, now follow these rules in order to be righteous. Yep, accept Christ, but follow these rules and make sure you follow them the same way they did in the Old Testament. And they were like, oh, okay. So then they start doing it. And he's like, wait, where are y'all getting this from? So the works that they were doing was trying out of their own strength to do what the law said. Okay. All right. Instead of doing it through this, here's this word again, believe. Now, could believe mean go, yep, I believe Jesus died. We're going to talk about that. All right. But he's saying it's going to be one or the other, by observing the law or by belief. He says, are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? That's what makes the law a problem. Because the law was put there for you to try on your own to be righteous. And you failed. I failed. Everybody failed. That's what he's saying. Okay? He was like, but if I go by grace, I'm following what he tells me and just trusting in him. That's the difference maker. Okay? So anytime you hear him talk about somebody trying to do it by human effort, they were trying to follow the law. Okay? It goes on to say, have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? So now are you feeling, because I'm doing all this good stuff, I'm a good person, and that's why God is blessing me. Now, hopefully it should have hit a nerve with some people, because there's a lot of people today who still feel that. They feel so self-righteous. They feel like they're doing such good things that God is going, why can't you be more like Keith? Y'all get this? Well, no. What a wretched man we all are. He didn't look at it and say, man, that Keith is great. Even when he says, have you considered my servant Job? Job still fell short. Do y'all get this? Okay. And the main thing he's saying to us is, you observe the law because, he says, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. Very important. This part is very important. Keep an eye on this concerning belief. He did what? Believed. I want to make sure you keep that in your heads, okay? He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The word credited means I gave you the money that you did not earn. When you get a credit card, did you earn the money on that credit card? No, in fact, we got to pay it back, don't we? When you use it, but you do, if you go in there and you got a $5,000 credit card, you can go buy something up to $5,000, correct? Now, you got to pay them back. That's you and their agreement. The difference with our credit is we wouldn't have to pay it back. He's crediting us righteousness, but we didn't earn righteousness. Please know that. Okay, it's not because I'm some great person. It's because I believed. Belief is very important. And how does the belief work? It was credited to him as righteousness. It goes on to say, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. So the biggest thing we have to do is believe. Like we just heard in the beginning, God so loved the world that he who believes, right? So the belief. It says the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So we need faith. So somehow that plays in belief. And announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, now, if people don't know any better, we think faith is just a feeling. In fact, a lot of us feel that way. You'll tell somebody in a second, I have faith. Okay, but no, there's something else how faith works. Faith is going to be that belief or that understanding or that acceptance of, but there's something that makes it belief. And we'll talk about that. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, watch this, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So if I failed, I have to pay for it. Okay? And you're like, oh, that's no problem. What does it cost? Death. Now what? And you see why men fell? Why everybody fell short? Because everybody sinned. So those who tried to follow the law sin. And you can't just go, oh, I'm sorry. What's the bill? Well, you got to die. That means it's over with. Y'all see how that works? That's why you can't. Man has tried. Man has failed miserably. Okay? It says, clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. Made that very clear. He's like, no man, because man can't do it, is what he's saying. He's saying, because the righteous will live by faith. Faith and belief are going together. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Now, what does he mean when he says the law is not based on faith? Remember, we read earlier, not in this lesson, but an earlier lesson in the show, the law itself is not bad. In fact, the law is spiritual. The law is holy. But you can't do it by faith. The law was a set of rules for you to try to do. That's what they were. He was like, you know what? I'm going to give you spiritual rules. Now do it. So that's not by faith. That's by strength. That's by me doing it on my own. Give me those rules, I got them. But the rules also said, you fail, you got to pay. Everybody getting this? You with me? Okay. So, we break it down. Righteousness cannot be accessed by human effort, which is observing the law. Okay? Everybody must get that. So, anyway, somebody says, I'm going to live right, they already blew it. If they think I'm going to live in a way that God's going to accept me, you already blew it. And you don't have to in that sense. That's what he's letting you know. This is where grace is going to come in. We're going to talk about that. What exactly does it mean to believe? Kept asking that question. So that's something we're going to get in this also. Very important when it comes down to how does works work. What does it mean to live by faith? Now he says as long as they have faith. But this live by faith is something in there that we got to talk about also. And the law is not based on faith. So if I said I'm going to do good, I better do good all the time or I'm cursed. I'm in trouble. Headed to hell. Everybody with me? All right. And we need to recognize there are two types of works. This is where it comes now to answering that question. Human works, works of faith. Human works, works of faith. Human works is me doing it on my own based on my strength. All me. Do y'all get this? I did it. And I did all that I needed to do. That's human works. Works of faith means I'm trusting you to take care of all that. So in it, what do you want me to do? Because I can't do what you want. I can't do the thing that'll earn it. So what do you want me to do? And we'll go over that. We'll explain how that works in there. All right. So now, Abraham gives an excellent example of the difference between human works and works of faith. This is where we're going to get the idea and understanding of belief. If Abraham would have worked on his own, he would have earned his righteousness. Okay? If he would have worked on his own, he would have earned it. In other words, if it came from his own power, it would have been something he did. But that's not what this says. Romans 4, 1 to 5 says, what then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. In other words, if Abraham did something great, then we would be told, follow Abraham because he's a great man. Okay, and this is the problem we get in because we like to make men great. We like to say this person was great. This is a great man of faith. But we miss when we're saying the of faith part means, no, he wasn't a great man. It was a person that trusted in God. And what does it mean to trust in God? It says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Basically, you know, he's saying, God is saying, no, that didn't happen. He goes on to say, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We just read that. All right. So it was credited to him because he believed. Okay. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. Here's the deal. So I'm told to go to work and I'm told to do this certain thing in order to get the pay that I get. Right? I provide a service. They pay me for my service. If I do that service, did I earn my pay? Yes. Okay? That's human works. We're all required to do those just on basis. We have a deal that I can do down here. What he's saying is when I can't do it, no matter what I do, if I went to work and they said, Keith, you have to pay this bill and it's going to cost $2 gazillion. No matter how hard I work, I don't care if I get two or three jobs, I'll never get that kind of money. All right. So my works will never earn it. Do you get where I'm coming from? Nothing I could do. My works, I'm working for nothing. If that's what was happening. I cannot earn that. Okay. That's why it says they're credited to them as an obligation. The first one is they owe me that money because I worked and that's the agreement. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. So somebody came along and said, I'm going to pay your $1 gazillion. All you have to do, did y'all catch that? Watch, I'm saying it again. He came along, he totally paid my $1 gazillion that I couldn't do. He just said, no, all I need you to do is, so do I still do something? Is there still works? Is my works earning my payoff? No, I didn't earn them. Somebody else paid them. Somebody's completely paying them. He just said, no, all you got to do is. That's where the trusting comes in. Who it says, but he who trusts God. I'm going to give some examples as we go through this. Who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited. I didn't earn that. So God's saying, no, put it on my bill. As if he paid it, right? Y'all with me? All right. Abraham showed the definition of belief by displaying his faith. This is where it's necessary. James 2, 21 through 24. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Now remember, we saw here, it wasn't his works that justified him, but it's showing us he did something. Y'all with me? It says what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. So my faith is not complete until I do. A lot of us say we have faith, so how is your life? You can tell me anything you want. If I watch your life, it will display. That's belief. How do I know that? It goes on and says, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. What he did applied to his faith. Do y'all see this? Okay? You can call yourself a Christian until you're blue in the face, meaningless. You can say I have faith and really mean it, meaningless, until it's displayed. Y'all get this? Okay? Displaying is going to show I accept what you're doing for me. It says, to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now, that takes a whole works group, and they hate James on this part because they're like, well, it's messing us up, and it's not talking. But he made it very clear because, remember, it's talking about justification. And he's like, if you don't do it, if I'm not displaying my faith, do you understand that, then I don't have faith. We're going to go into this deeper later on. That's why in the same passage, it says faith without works is what? Dead. Once again, all from the Bible. Okay? So I'm going to display what he says. All right? So let me give you an example. Has anybody ever won from a radio station or anything like that, some sort of award or concert or something like that? And if you ever did, you have to do a couple of things. You have to first go get the tickets, right? Then they have a whole bunch of terms and stuff you have to sign off on. You can't have somebody work for the radio station. You can't have this. You got to make sure you do this. Make sure you don't spend it on this. You can't sell them. You can't, right? All of those are what? Works. But did you pay for those tickets? Absolutely not. So did you get the tickets for free? But if you say, I'm not going to do this with these terms, that means you're not accepting them. Your works are showing I don't accept them. That's the difference. So Christ did all the earning. For me to show that I accepted it is my belief. And that's where all these other terms and stuff come into play. Do y'all get this? So I never earned it, but my actions show if I truly believe. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. Now, human works will be me trying to do things out of the goodness of my heart and through my own ability, while not realizing there is no goodness in my heart. Y'all remember what it says, Romans 7? And my own strength will always fall short. Okay? Human strength. If a person is trying to be righteous, they're living a meaningless, because they're not going to get anywhere. They can't. You can't on your own be a good person. That's why when you see somebody that's not a Christian, you call them a good person, you're being misled. Only God is good. Okay? It goes on, and my strength will always fall short. While works justifying faith will be doing something because of what God said, no matter how I feel about it. So works done by faith is just me following God. That's it. He empowers me, gives me everything I need, and I just do it. And that's me accepting it, and then I get credited as being righteous. Because there's nothing I can do on my own to be righteous. Amen? No amen? All right. I know this is going to be kind of deep and hard, so keep working on this, and we're going to keep talking about it. All right. So now, human works is synonymous to a person going to work and providing a service and getting paid for what he did because he earned it. That's human works. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. You just can't earn your salvation. You can't do it. It's a bill far beyond what we can earn. So works through faith is synonymous to someone offering to pay all of your bills because there's no way you could pay them, but by their terms or things done to show you your acceptance to their payment. So in other words, there are terms or things done. There are terms that they put out there to say, if you truly accept it, this is what you have to do. Does that make sense? That's going to be the belief part. For me to be a Christian, I have to show the terms and degree. He who believes, I have to show God I accepted it. And this is where the Bible comes in. This is where my life comes in. That's why it's called live by faith. Do y'all get this? Faith is not just something I have and I claim it. It's something I show. Y'all with me? It's something I display. And only, that's what Mary says, my righteous ones will live by faith. That's an action. It's a lifestyle. Those who received what I just did for them, the ones who are truly saved, you're going to see it. We won't have to say it. Amen? All right. So now, though God's grace is a gift, I must agree to two important terms to show I've accepted the gift. First of all, repentance. That's an action. That's not just me saying sorry. Repentance is an actual turning away from. Remember, it's me first acknowledging that I'm a sinner and then turning away from it. That's repentance. I must do that part first to show my acceptance of what he did, correct? I don't repent, can't get saved. You understand it? You can't make somebody just say, I accept Christ as my personal savior and move on. No, they have to repent. That's why Jesus always said, repent and be saved. The repentance part has to exist. You'd be surprised how many Christians have not repented. They just accepted God almost as a favor to God, not realizing that means they're not Christian. Okay? So you have to repent. Secondly, belief. That means change of purpose. I have to now believe. So belief is going to be a lifestyle. Belief is going to be me doing what he says. Right? All right? Remember, he is my Lord. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it means I'm going to do exactly what he says. Jesus, as our example, kept saying, I do exactly what my Father tells me. Correct? All right? So belief is you're going to watch me doing exactly what the word says, period. It won't be, I'll do it when I want to, and because of grace, I really don't have to. No. My belief is showing that I accept what he did for me that I could not do on my own. So there is the works of accepting what he did. Now, difference between human works and works of faith. We're going to break this down. Workers of faith look for God's approval only. Okay? Only looking for God's approval. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 through 18. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to boast in the Lord? My only boast is I did exactly what you told me, God. That should be my only boast. Not, look how strong I was. Didn't I keep doing this? I did more than he did. All that stuff is boasting in you. Boasting in the Lord is, I did exactly what you told me. Period. Y'all get where I'm coming from? Remember the people with the talents? They did what they were supposed to with their talent. Okay? They didn't go, why did he only get this much and I got this much? They did what they were told with their talent. And that represents our lives. Okay? So he boasts in the Lord. I'm going to follow what you tell me, period. And it says, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved. So some of us right now, and we're almost even taught this sometimes as Christians, is to boast about, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of God. And it's almost a puffedness. You're supposed to have that confidence That's dangerous. In fact, God rather you question it. Remember the two that went to pray. Y'all remember that parable that Jesus gave? In fact, let's look at that. If anybody knows where it's at, let me know. And it's where the two went into the temple to pray. You remember that? And one was a tax collector and the other one was a Pharisee. Okay, let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18, I'm going to start in verse 9. Luke 18, and we'll start in verse 9. And look how he starts it off, too. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. So this is important. When I feel confident in my own righteousness, think again. He goes in, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Right? So he's already, man, he's proud of what he did. And he's even pointing at this guy going, I'm not even him. I'm not as bad as him. Aren't I great? Commend me on how great I am. And unfortunately, we have a lot of Christians that may not say it in the same word, but we live this way with the same mentality of, but I'm righteous, man. I'm not them. Did you ever see this other guy and these other? We have the mentality and the focus of, I am righteous because I'm such a great person. But watch what's this. In verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Every Christian would go and check your day and go, was I doing what you wanted me to, God? Or do we go home going, well, I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter. I know where I'm going. Do we have that mentality that it's all already covered because I'm so righteous? Or do we go home every day going, let me pray about this. Let me really look at what I did. Did I treat everybody this way? Who do I need to go back and to apologize? What do I need to do? That's humble. Y'all get this? Okay? Even though it's not the extreme of the one group that said everything you did is going to go to hell, we live with that mindset of, God, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything you told me to do each and every day. Y'all get this? The I'm only human will never play a part. The, well, at least I'm not like them will not play a part. It'll always be, this is my responsibility in you, Lord. You know what I mean? And what do I need to do? Humbling ourselves. It's coming back to this. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So did God say, well done to you? And if you're like, well, I'm not sure. Okay, keep it moving. Keep living, not with this attitude of I did this and I did that and how come I'm not? If he didn't tell you, keep moving. We also see the difference maker in works of faith and human works is purpose. Purpose. So if you want to know if you're living human works or trying to do it on your own versus living for God, that's what this verse is saying. In Galatians 6, 7 through 8, do not be deceived. He starts off. Why does he say do not be deceived? Because deception is a choice, right? I know we like to play the victim and say, I really didn't understand, but do we really put the effort into understanding? God's letting everybody know we have access to understanding. Okay, fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, the beginning of knowledge, right? Beginning of wisdom, we have it. We have full access to understanding. So when I don't understand, I just use that. But the reason why we're deceived is because we allow ourselves to be deceived. We'll hear something, sounds good, amen. Right? Is that what we usually do? Somebody will say something, sounds good, amen. Except, okay, good, I'm checking. Just letting you know. Hopefully y'all doing that with me, looking at me, yeah, Pastor, okay, we're checking. And that's what you should do. You don't just take my word for it. You want to make sure you're taking the word for it. It says God cannot be mocked. So you put that out there because a lot of us have everybody else fooled. Right? And you're doing a great job. Judgment comes. We're not the ones through us going to be judging you. Y'all get this? So you got everybody else fooled. That's only hurting you. Does that make sense? So in the end, I have to answer to everything he's seen. And because you had me fooled, you just had me fooled. I'm not doing anything towards that. You got to answer to God who's seen everything. You know, unlike the court system that have to get all these evidence and things like that to prove that you didn't do it or that what you did. God knows. He's always there. Now, what would you say? So I don't want you to be mocked. I want you to see it because hopefully if you're the Christian that you're supposed to be, if I'm the Christian I'm supposed to be, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to help you. Right? Y'all see that? So those who think they're fooling people, and this is why we as Christians aren't supposed to be so self-righteous that we're just like, oh, I can't believe you did that. That is not our right to condemn and put down people. Ours is, okay, so what are we going to do to fix it? Right? What can we do to help? It's not hiding it because you're only hurting you. You got to answer to God. So we go on. God cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. So he starts off with whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get. So, but he goes in deeper. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. That goes from not the action, but the purpose of the action. Did y'all catch that? So he didn't just talk about the sowing itself. It's saying my purpose for sowing was to please his sinful nature. Why did you plant that? Why are you living the way you're living? What is your purpose? And he was like, two choices. If your purpose is for anything else other than God, this is what you will get. You will reap destruction. Okay? You may have every excuse and every whatever else in your, and he's letting you notice, he gives us this in his word clearly. This is the answer. Okay? If that's your purpose, this, and some people are doing it, and they're very successful at doing it. Life is good. I'm happy. So on and so forth, as far as they're concerned. This is what you're going to get. Lazarus and the rich man. He was a rich man for a reason. Unfortunately, if we're disturbed enough, we'll look at that rich man, and we'll think he did a great thing because he's rich. It's not what the Bible teaches. We just had a whole sermon on that. Right? So we understand, no, he was fully living for himself. Y'all catch this? And he's going to get, which he got, because he was in hell, destruction. But the one who sows to please, in other words, his purpose is the Spirit. In other words, for God, everything I do and say and how I live is for God. From that Spirit will reap eternal life. Key word in both of these, will. This is a God promise. What your purpose will dictate what you're going to get. Not a what you may get. Not what you hope to get or could get. No, no. He's saying this is the answer. That's why he starts off with don't be deceived. Because you have some people who are living for themselves doing good deeds. Think about that. At times they'll do stuff nice for other people. They may even go to church. Amen? They'll do all this stuff, but their purpose of life is for themselves. They're going to get. Y'all catch that? Y'all see? And that's what it said. That's what Lazarus, I mean, the rich man got. The rich man got it, and he was in hell with, no, go please tell my brother. He's like, if they didn't get the word, they're not going to get it if I send a dead person back. It's what he's saying. Okay? So your purpose. So your actions playing a part, what is the reason why you're doing what you're doing? And it should make us all rethink. Now, I always say to people, if you're hearing this now, you should rejoice in God that if you're not doing it, you can make your change. Don't go, oh, man, I messed up. No, it's okay. The repentance, and now start living for the purpose of God. How do you live for the purpose of God? Do everything what he says based on what he says, period. Amen? And unfortunately, in today's world, a lot of people call this impossible. That's how far gone we can be today. That's why they call it terrible times. Our good deeds will be God-purposed. The whole order of my steps on God is what makes deeds good is because you have a lot of people that do what the world calls good deeds, And when God's letting you know, those are not good. And we struggle with that. We still kind of go, but I did something good. Okay, just based on the world, so in reality, because it wasn't based on God, it's not good. Do y'all get this? Only God is good. Galatians 6, 9 to 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good. So then, as a Christian, and this is where God will allow this to happen. Have you ever done something for somebody? They not only didn't appreciate it, but they treated you bad, and your next response was, last time I do something for you. What that showed is you were doing it in the first place for this. So the deed was never good. Do y'all catch that? It might have looked good, and the world might have called it good. You might even get an award for it. But what was your purpose for doing it? That's why we won't become weary in doing good if I'm truly a Christian. Because I'm doing it for God. And until God says, Keith, stop, I don't care how bad you talk about me, whatever you say, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing it again. Because I'm loving God. But we have still these Christians who do it based on the other person. Not based on the other person, based on God, just based on the other person. I ain't going to let them talk to me that way. They didn't really appreciate it. You notice they didn't say thank you? We'll say all this stuff, and you're right, but that's not my reason I'm supposed to stop. Good deeds are based on God. It says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. All this is action. So what I do for you, if I'm doing it and my purpose is God, I won't give up. But if I give up because of you, then all that stuff I did was meaningless anyway. It might have helped somebody for that temporary moment, might have seemed good for that temporary moment, but overall, I'm not going to receive anything. Y'all get this? It's going to be a lot of rewards. You're going to go, well, why didn't I get this? Only because you did this. But I did not do good? Well, no, because it wasn't based on me. Y'all get this? It'd be fully based on God. Nobody would ever pull you away from doing what you're supposed to. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And the reason why I say especially those, because he's not playing favorites, is because the more we help uplift the body, the stronger the body becomes to help others in the world. And the key is, do good. If I don't follow God, if somebody's hungry, I'll just feed them. That's good, right? They're starving, I'm feed them. That's good. But the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So in other words, was it good? And I hear Christians say that, man, if they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. And they say that they're sounding righteous and firm, and they have all this together. While in reality, they never checked with God. They're caught up in their own self righteousness. You got a lot of people that are a part of groups and doing things. All sounds great. Did you check with God? Did you check with God? And some think, oh, he's gonna appreciate it. And that's where you become deceived. Amen? Okay, never mind. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We are to work out our everyday task as if we are working for Christ, not man. That's the other difference. If I'm working or living by faith, then my purpose is going to show. Even in my regular everyday work, remember that thing that I am earning? I'm still working that as if I'm working for God. Watch what this is. Colossians 3, 23 to 25. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. There was a project we had to work on, and our director was the one who started it. So there was people who got to the front of it, and they wanted to be the heads of this, and they wanted all these parts. When he dumped it on this other guy, who was just another guy, same level, those same people start backing out. Their effort went to nothing. You would tell them, hey, I need this by tomorrow. You got nothing. And it was like, what happened? Because theirs was working for the director. I want to make sure he sees me, make sure I get my promotion based, but he's not watching anymore, so I'm not wasting my time. And that's how a lot of us do it. We do it for us. If the right person sees it, then I'll work hard. When they're not seeing it, you mean nothing to me. And that's how we do. But when I'm doing it for the Lord, everything I do is going to be at 100%. You'll always get 100% out of me. All the time. Even when you're not looking. It goes on, not for men. So not just for the Lord, but make sure it's not for men. I don't care if you do see me doing it. And I don't care if you see me, you're going to see 100%. But if you don't see me, I'm still going to give 100% because it's not for you. My promotions, Keith Smith's promotions, are based on God. Keith Smith's promotions or job is going to be based on God. Do you understand it? Everything I do has to be based on God. Now, I'm not going to lie, the flesh part comes out, and there are many things I've done that other people got credit for. There are things that I've done that I know he didn't see, and then when he talks about us doing, I'm sitting there going, but I'm already doing that. And I have to catch that and just put it away somewhere. Because if he doesn't see, he doesn't see it. It was for God. Right? It's for God. I'm doing it for God. My reward comes from God. And sometimes God checks and goes, let me check and see if you're checking me or if you're working for this person. Amen? And he'll do something. You'll get no credit for it. Now, how are you going to react? So all this stuff comes into play. He says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That's what I want. I can get a promotion. That's still temporary. Get more money. Still temporary. But I can still lose my job. Temporary. Do y'all get this? My person who gets me my job, gives me the ability to do my job, pays me for my, that's all God. He's eternal. It says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. I could have made that bold 25 because it's basically saying, so when my boss is not watching, amen, and I don't do it, or if I'm working for somebody else, same job, and I'm not giving 100%, I'm still going to have to pay for it. Even though at work I may not have lost anything, or I'm going to lose something. Keep that in mind. Person who has reverence for God looks at this and go, oh, I better straighten up. Person who doesn't is going, nah, I'm okay. Right? It goes on to say, and there is no favoritism. Everybody's going to get this. So understand, I have to work my everyday life 100% for God. Right? Some people, when you get around certain people, you couldn't care less because they're meaningless to you. You have to answer to God for that. You're great around certain people, but when it gets around other people, you know what I mean? Certain people, because you think it's going to boast you up. In other words, you're still living for you. And it shouldn't be that way. Faith must be the complete basis for what we do for it to be a work of faith. That's why it's called work of faith. And it has to be 100% foundation. Romans 9:30-32 says, what then shall we say? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but Israel who pursued a law of righteousness has not attained it. Why not? Now, did you catch what he said? So in other words, in the Old Testament, he said, okay, I'm going to give you the way that you can now pursue righteousness. And they kept failing, fail, so they all failed, right? Gentiles who didn't get that opportunity and didn't get no law put in front of them, they were offered grace through faith, and they got it. Y'all get this, okay? And he's saying, why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if by were by works. The Israelites said, I'm going to do these rules he told me to, and they kept failing. The Gentiles, their works showed that they accepted it being done for them, so they got credited. Now, Romans 11 lets us know the Jews are going to have that same opportunity, so everybody in the world has the same opportunity to do it. We just got to choose to do it. Amen? It's a choice you have to make. He so loved the world, but not the whole world is going to be saved. Only those who choose to do it. That's what it means when it says they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Because they were like, oh, we got this. And they didn't. Gentiles were like, we accept him. And they got access now to that righteousness that the other ones were trying to pursue. Amen? Okay? How works reveals what's real. How does work reveal what's real? Let me check one thing. Okay. Do a couple of these, then we'll close. Now, our actions are the labels of what we really are. In fact, we'll just do this one, and then we'll close. Because I want to spend some time on it, and then we'll stop on this. So, our actions are the labels of what we really are. So, if you really want to know what you are, somebody come to me and say, I'm a Christian. That sounds great. Now, step back and watch them. Because remember, how are we to keep a Christian from deceiving us? You're to know them by their fruit. From their fruits, okay? Fruits are works of the Spirit. Fruits of me displaying spiritual works through the Spirit. That's why it's called. You'll know them by their fruit. He's like, if people don't come and try to mislead you. So it says in 1 John 3:7-10, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Remember I told you, deception, choice. He's telling you not to let it happen. This is a command, not to let it happen. It says, he who does what is right is righteous. Can't make it any clearer than that. So if I'm a Christian, but I'm doing junk over here, guess what? I'm not a Christian. Did y'all catch that? He's making it clear. You can say it all you want. Just as he is righteous, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. And both of these are talking about a lifestyle. Okay? Doesn't mean you're not going to fall at times and have problems. No, no. Watch a person's life. How do they treat other people? How are they with their finances? How are they with other people? Right? Some of us are are caught up in ourselves. Well, I always have attitudes. I always treat people this way. Then you're not a Christian. Keep leaning on what you say you already are. Or did you get converted to what he's trying to transform you into? And he was like, if I live a life of sin, I don't care what I said, what I called myself, I am a sinner headed to hell. It says, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. It goes on to say, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. And that term continue to sin means living in sin. If I'm truly a Christian, sin will not play a factor or major factor in my life at all. I may have struggles, I may have things I'm going through, all that stuff, and I'm dealing with them, but it won't be an acceptable part of my life when I continue in sin. It says, because God's seed remains in him, he cannot go on sinning. If I'm truly living as a Christian, I won't be able to do it. It'll destroy me. The conviction, I'll just be over. But if you're a Christian and you're sinning and it's kind of like, something's wrong. There wasn't something accepted. There was something that wasn't done. It says, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are. Did y'all catch this? So he's giving us this. How would I know who Christians are? It says, and who the children of devil are and who's not. How will you know? Not because you told me. Watch. I know people don't judge me. No, we're supposed to assess. We're supposed to have that judgment. Right? Because I'll get around people, and if I don't see the righteous part, I have to minister. If I do see the righteous part, I can now fellowship. But I got to know the difference. If you just take somebody who says they're a Christian and you fellowship with them, what does the Bible say? Bad company corrupts. Do y'all see the danger in that? So you just go ahead with some title. Hey, I'm a Christian. Okay. And you get with them. Oh, man. Oh, you're in trouble. And the other end of that, if I don't recognize it and minister to them, I miss an opportunity. All these come into play. He says, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. So if their life is consisted of them and you give them every excuse, well, it's because they were through this type of family and they went through this and they're having a hard time. Either which way, if they're not doing what is right, they're not a Christian. Can I make it any plainer than that? You understand that? Okay? If that's not their life, they're not. And it says, nor is anyone, here's a key, who does not love his brother. And that's just as extreme. Love is an action. And you got people that will say, I love you. Remember what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll do what I command. Yep. Right? So he made that clear. So you have a lot of people that will say, I love you, but their actions show otherwise. We usually deal with people based on how we feel. And that's destroying us because that's included in this group. I've seen people who are action-wise, but how they treat others, especially in the body, that's dangerous. And we do it. We still have attitudes. We still hold grudges. We still treat people based on how we feel, not on what he says. Amen? So we'll stop here. And hopefully now, I know this one's a complex one. This is one of those, remember I said there's a couple of them I put out there? And I understand they're going to be complex. You're going to have to study it throughout the week. You're going to have questions unless you're spiritually brilliant. Praise God. If you have that, then it's good. Then we'll move on to the next section when we get there. But talk about it. Read over it. Check me on these. Amen?